Radio Daily for Halfway Day. And I know it means nothing to most anyone else, but today is not a walk-in day at Virginia DMV.
Hey!
Tomorrow, that's a whole other story, but tomorrow never comes, I was told by somebody who lied to me a long time ago. Welcome to the 6th of October. Things that I told you to mail yesterday are officially late if you did not. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, the folks that are bringing it to you today. The man that just has to look at that long list of Zoom meetings for the day and say what he has to say. It's podcaster Rich Sickford.
Oh, son. Not this nonsense again.
I'm afraid so. It's just what happens. It's the kind of thing, it's elaborate.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Skip the compliments. Let's get on with it.
Fine. What happened this fine day there, sir?
I don't understand, Dad. I was supposed to wake Green Day up, and I'm 6 days late.
1582. Because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day is skipped in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain.
1876. The American Library Association was founded.
1889. William Kennedy Laurie Dixon, the inventor of the motion picture camera and an employee of Thomas Edison, makes the first motion picture, in which he films himself saying, "Good morning, Mr. Edison. How do you like this?" The motion picture is the first sound film. The image of the film is only about 1 inch wide and 3/4 inch high.
1898, Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia, the largest American music fraternity, is founded at the New England Conservatory of Music by Ossian Everett Mills, who also went on to found the Omega Moose.
1908, the Ohio Art Company, later manufacturer of the Etch-a-Sketch, is founded by Henry Simon Wensler. He actually planned on inventing it much earlier and releasing it, but unfortunately there were a lot of earthquakes in the area.
1914, Edwin H. Armstrong is granted a patent for the wireless receiving system in which he describes his regenerative circuit, otherwise known as a feedback circuit.
1927, Warner Brothers premieres The Jazz Singer, the first motion picture with sound at the Warner Cinema on Broadway in New York. Its release marks the end of the film era.
I really love the cameo that they had by William Kennedy Laurie Dixon. 1938, Hindenburg 3 docks with the Empire State Building. Professor Jorge Vargas goes missing. He's the third scientist in as many months to disappear. Gosh, if only Sky Captain was here to find out why.
1941, electric photography, which will later be called xerography, is patented by Chester Carlson.
1953, Bob and Ray Show, the TV variety legendary show, airs its last episode on NBC.
1967, the Star Trek episode Mirror, Mirror first airs. It's number 33 in the show's run. In it, a transporter malfunction sends Kirk, McCoy, Scotty, and Uhura into a parallel universe where, in lieu of the Federation, a despotic Earth-centered galactic empire exists. And, of course, spawns the fantastic trope of anybody with a goatee is evil.
I am not. 1976, Rick Dees and his cast of idiots received a gold record for the novelty single Disco Disco Duck, which eventually went platinum. Man, the drugs in the 70s.
Man, I'm not sure if I'm old. I can't tell what songs are novelty songs and which songs are top 40. 1988, Donnie Darko floods his school.
1995, Didier Queslos and Michael Mayer announced the first discovery of a planet orbiting a star similar to the sun, 51 Pegasi. It's about 160 times the mass of the Earth.
1997, the science fiction series Earth, Final Conflict premieres with the episode Decision in Canada and the U.S. The series was created by Gene Roddenberry, but it wasn't put into production until after his passing.
1998, at the Sega New Challenge Conference in Tokyo, Sega debuts the Dreamcast video game system, which was awesome.
Also, the science fiction television series 7 Days premieres in the U.S. with the episode Pilot Part 1 on UPN.
2006, NASA releases close-up photos taken by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter of the planet Mars, revealing clues to its oceanic past. There was a statue of Aquaman.
Ooh. 2007, Jason Lewis completes the first human-powered circumnavigation of the globe. Man, are his arms tired.
2008, the Messenger spacecraft makes its second pass of the planet Mercury.
And in 2009, the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory announced that the Spitzer Space Telescope has discovered the largest undiscovered ring around the planet Saturn. The diffuse ring doesn't reflect much light, but it is so large that it would take an estimated 1 billion Earths to fill it.
Or like 500 million 51 Pegasi's.
Ooh, math.
Birthday?
Olivia Thirlby. 35 from Juno, The Darkest Hour, and Dread.
Jeremy Sisto is 47 from Clueless, 13, Wrong Turn, one of the Law & Order spinoffs, 6 Feet Under.
That was fantastic in Dead and Breakfast.
Oh, yes, thank you. I was like, there was something else.
Ione Griffod is 48 from Titanic, Fantastic Four, W, Forever, and Jungle Book.
Elizabeth Shue is 58 from Karate Kid, Adventures in Babysitting, Back to the Futures 2 and 3, Link, Leaving Las Vegas, Piranha 3D, and The Boys.
I was so excited when she turned up in Cobra Kai.
Right.
And I'm also glad it wasn't for very much.
Right.
Britt Eklund is 79 from Get Carter, Wicker Man, and Man with the Golden Gun.
Ellen Travolta is 81. She's Horseshack's mom, and welcome back Kata, Joni Loves Chachi, and Charles in Charge.
Born this day, no longer with us, in 1846, George Westinghouse, an American engineer and businessman, founded the Westinghouse Air Brake Company.
1906, Janet Gaynor from the aforementioned 1937, A Star is Born.
1908, Carol Lombard from The Arizona Kid, My Man Godfrey, and Hitchcock's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
1931, Riccardo Giacconi, first director of the Space Telescope Science Institute, the Science Operations Center for the Hubble Space Telescope.
And 1942, Fred Travellina, comedian and amazing impressionist.
Yeah, if you know a voice, he could absolutely do it.
CBS, we've got a new Survivor, ready for battle on a new Tough as Nails.
ABC's got a new Goldbergs, Wonder Years, The Conners, Home Economics, and the women throw Catherine a celebratory divorce party, and the men get together to distract Eddie with a hockey game. Maggie copes with surprising news, Sophie's forced to stand her ground, Eddie helps Theo attempt to impress a new crush on A Million Little Things, which is a legitimate description of that show.
NBC has the all-new Chai Try with your Chicago Fires, Mad Junior Pids.
Over at Fox, House Party on a new The Masked Singer. The final auditions, night 3 on Alter Ego.
On CW, we've got Riverdale, RIP, and then a new Riverdale and a new In the Dark.
Freeform, Simpsons has a Treehouse of Horror marathon tonight.
We're not sure which of the 47 it is.
Nope.
AMC has House of Wax.
We know that's not the original. FX. No. Mamie takes matters into her own hands. The fate of the future is revealed on a new American Horror Story.
FXM has the third installment in the delightful series Hotel Transylvania with Summer Vacation.
Paramount has Along Came Polly. Oh, what a good time.
I saw that in the theater. Siffy has Ant-Man.
TBS has the Major League Baseball playoffs because that's a thing.
TNT has new Roads to the Top.
But they don't describe this episode. Like, yesterday. There was a new episode yesterday. They gave us a great description. This one,
Cody Rhodes and his wife stuff happens. Right.
It's not even a rerun. It's a new episode. But what happens? How could you possibly top yesterday?
Watch.
Science has Bridge of Devastation on a new Engineering Catastrophes. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. When Sophia gets into an exclusive cheer camp with her best friend Charlotte, she's ecstatic at the chance to show off her skills. Camp Queen Bee Victoria doesn't take kindly to newcomers like Sophia taking her spotlight, so she launches a dangerous plan to get her rival out of the way. Andrea Bogart and Mariah Robertson star in Cheer Camp Killer. Guess who did it?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. It's Chad and Abby's anniversary date. Now, Chad's got some romantic plans for the evening, but Abby would rather spend an evening with her fiancé, Stefan. Unlucky with his plans, Chad goes to the local bar and runs into Gabby, a woman he and Abby went to high school with. He decides to take her to his place for a rendezvous, but not without stopping by so Abby can get some jealousy brewing. But the fun comes to an end when Chad gets a phone call from someone that knows what he and Gabby have been up to. Gabby had a feeling she would end up this night, trap her in a weird situation. She wanted fun, not some return of Superfly dude. She wanted to punch Chad and leave a mark that is the color purple. Hashtag Chad forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
High five and fist bump to Rich. Tech TV was an amazing channel, and I was such a huge fan of Call for Help, The Screensavers, Dig Nation, The Dig Read, and Unscrewed. In fact, I discovered the channel back when it was ZDTV. It was when it became G4. I no longer had an interest in it. It's been a while. I've been shown as a caller on The Screensavers and even met Leah Laporte once. To circle back to Rich's reason to watch the channel, I was more of a fan of Kat Schwartz and Megan Monroe.
Oh,
geek,
yes.
Love is bliss. Love you all. That's from Syrinx, who included a picture of him very, very, very young as a split-screen picture between him and the host of said show.
Oh, wow. I imagine he probably asked some question about Linux or something.
Maybe that could be the banner picture that goes with today's show. Not tomorrow's show.
Look, I'm a huge Megan Maroney fan and absolutely adore Kat Schwartz. I mean, pretty much all of them. I mean, the female ones were lovely, but the dudes, holy cow, go back to Yoshi and Patrick. I mean, they were all fantastic there, but I mean, come on. Martin Sargent, it doesn't get any better than that.
Nope. Greetings, GRD crew. You referenced the inventor of a portable TV with 2-inch diagonal screen. I once watched the original British version of Death at a Funeral on an iPod Nano on my commute to work on buses. I bet that was a lot more portable than the old one and better resolution. As far as taking all week to figure out where Chad and Abby were last week, when you write shabby clues, they're elements that can be used to find your way even if the plot synopsis doesn't get you there. Mark does it similarly, but Sirix doesn't use the same convention in the same way, so it took a lot more to suss it out. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Cheers! That's from Jared. Well, Jared, I think you've summed it up perfectly. I've been doing this long enough that I just don't care as much as I used to. Hey, Sirix, come write some more stuff. If you'd like to write some of these, by all means, let us know. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can pitch your plea by voicemail or text message. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
Anything I can do, he can do better.
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics, featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin. Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
Hi, this is the actually famous Billy Flynn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Bang.
Ah, oh, no, that was a fist bump kind of thing.
He is a famous Billy Flynn.
You know, it's like a Whitney Brown, who one day hopes to be the Whitney Brown.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed. What's available in the long boxes for us, sir?
Well, from Detective Comics, we've got Arkham City, The Order of the World, 1 of 6. DC Horror presents Soul Plumber, 1 of 6. Wonder Woman 80th Anniversary, 100-page Super Spectacular, 1. It's also a one-shot, by the way. Also, gather around the fire, fellow campers, because it's time for the most terrifying of traditions. Campfire stories so scary you'll never sleep without a nightlight again. The Teen Titans guide those brave enough through tales of Batman and the hidden killer. Superman and Lois Lane and the killer in their back seats. Hello, Harley Quinn and Darkseid. And even Darkseid, his cousin, versus a furious Bloody Mary. And 4 more stories so hair-raising you'll call your mama to come pick you up. So toast your marshmallows, pull up a s'more, and answer the only question that matters this Halloween. Are you afraid of Darkseid? It's one shot.
Marvel, Captain Marvel, 33, Dark Ages, 2 of 6, Deadpool, Black, White, and Blood, 3 of 4, and A Jedi Master is Dead, another in a state of complete shock. It's a murder the likes of which the Jedi Order has never seen before. There's no leads, no suspects, no motive, but Jedi investigator Emric Kaptor must solve the case before it's too late. The fate of the Jedi, the Hutts, the Neely, and everyone in the galaxy hangs in the tangled thread of lies and deceit. He'll need help. Luckily, Private Eye C and Holt lives in the dark. Together, they'll follow the trails of shadows wherever it leads. If they can work together, that is. It's Star Wars High Republic, Trail Shadows, 1 of 5.
From Boom Studios, we've got Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 30. Magic, 7. Mighty Morphin, 12. From Dark Horse, we've got Apex Legends, Overtime, 3 of 4. Lucky Devil, 3 of 4. And Worst Dudes, wrapping up its 5. But from Archie Comics, we've got when Archie unknowingly rebuffs a witch friend of Sabrina's, he wakes up Halloween morning with a jack-o'-lantern head, complete with the cross hatching on the side. Even worse, he can't convince anyone it's real and not a costume. Will our pumpkin-headed friend turn back to a teen before midnight, or will he forever be stuck as an arch-o'-lantern in Archie's Halloween Spectacular? 1.
IDW Publishing at Star Trek Year 5, 25. Image Comics. When an unassuming man stumbles upon a dark web contract assassin's vicious plot to kill an innocent target, he turns himself into one. The professional meets Road to Perdition. In this story of family's unlikely guardian being hunted by rich and powerful men who are used to getting away with everything they want. Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, a petition has been launched to rename a county in Florida after Bruce Lee. Lee County is named after Civil War Confederate General Robert E. Lee, though the petition suggests that renaming it after the martial arts icon would continue the battle to eradicate racism in the United States.
Wait, it's not named after the car from the Dukes of Hazzard?
What? It's time to stop idolizing these Confederate soldiers. The Change.org page, which was started by Florida-based organization Art Symbol Underground, states, ending racism includes the removal of racist figure statues and idols across the South.
We're number two. We're number two.
The petition notes that Bruce Lee bridged the gap between East and West and helped to change the way Asians were presented in American films.
Well, certainly not until Mickey Rooney and Sean Connery redefined the way we look at Asian people.
The petition is seeking 1,000 signatures and already has over 500 supporters. Robert E. Lee never even set foot in our county. It has nothing to do with this place, said Brian Weaver, owner of Art Symbol Underground. We know that there are many people out there that for some reason still cling to Confederate traditions and names for things they lost. Period. But instead of making you feel bad, I think Bruce Lee himself said it best when he said, mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. And then when you pull out your Confederate flag, it goes, what was that?
Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, all owned by Facebook, stopped working Monday for millions of users across the U.S., according to outage site Down Detector. They were down for more than 6 hours.
I felt a great disturbance in the force, as if millions of anti-vax and people who don't understand how rights work cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
To the huge community of people and businesses around the world who depend on us, we're sorry. We've been working hard to restore access to our apps and services and are happy to report they're coming back online now. Thank you for bearing with us, Facebook said Monday evening once the apps began working again.
No doubt after having to move the Spirit Halloween that had already set up shop on their servers. Ha ha!
Later on Monday, the company explained why the outage occurred. Our engineering teams have learned that configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers caused issues that interrupted this communication. This disruption to network traffic had cascading effect on the way our data centers communicate, bringing our services to a halt, Facebook said in a statement.
Close. An update said that they sent out said we don't have servers anymore, but since they run everything through the same servers, the system would send an update to fix everything, was also down because of the update and the login system and the systems that checks the keycard access to where the servers are.
Despite the many theories that have been circulating the internet since the outage, Facebook said it has no evidence that any user data was compromised during the disruption.
Because they totally own that.
The Instagram and Facebook outages came shortly after a whistleblower came forward and claimed to CBS News and that the company could do more to protect against hate speech and misinformation, but prioritizes profits over its users while tracking marginalized groups. Following the Sunday 60 Minutes interview with the whistleblower, identified as Francis Haugen, a data scientist, the company put out a statement defending itself that is summed up with the phrase, "Nuh-uh."
Funny how the outage happened right after the report came out, isn't it?
Facebook's stock took a severe hit Monday following the whistleblower's revelations and the outage, recording its worst day of the year. At closing, the stock was trading at $326.23 a share, down 16.78 points or 4.89%. Now, many of us laugh at what happened to Facebook and the other apps associated with it. And others are shocked by how much control they have over various aspects of our lives. But I think we need to take a moment of silence for anyone who was using an Oculus headset when the outage happened. Because right now, they're still trapped in VR. And if you die there, you die in real life.
Virtual reality is real. After being accused of violating California's unfair competition law, Apple agreed to settle a class action lawsuit to the tune of $95 million.
Actually, they'll simply pass out 95,959,595 free iTunes tracks.
Apple's repair terms had stated that when repairing or replacing a customer's device, Apple may use parts or products that are new or refurbished and equivalent to new in performance and reliability.
And you'll like it! We're Apple!
However, the plaintiffs in Maldonado versus Apple argued that remanufactured or refurbished parts and devices are not the same as brand new ones when it comes to performance or reliability, something which eventually prompted Apple customers to file a class action lawsuit back in 2016. And while Apple tried to defend its repair policy in court, documents indicate the company eventually decided it would be cheaper to settle the case than continue what would almost certainly turn into a prolonged legal battle.
$95 million was cheaper? Were they suing for a gajillion? Quick, get Justin Long on the line.
This means that Apple has to avoid admitting fault by settling and almost potentially saves money had the trial run its full course. This case marks a win for consumers who need replacement parts or products, and now Apple's going to have to supply brand new parts that should support a device's performance and longevity in the future, or in the case where refurbished parts are used, they are explicitly labeled as such.
Oh, they made it so my $900 phone isn't disposable anymore.
These new repairs will be subject to a vigorous inspection by new chief technician Redmond Green, who stands by the motto, spare the duct tape, spoil the job, which may be a good motto, but this is the same person once quoted as saying, if life gives you lemons, throw in a quart of vodka.
Everybody knows sleep is important, but there's still a lot we don't understand about what it actually does to the brain and how its benefits could be boosted. To investigate, the U.S. Army has awarded researchers at Rice University and other institutions a grant to develop a portable skull cap that can monitor and adjust the flow of fluid through the brain during sleep.
And it can add caffeine when needed.
Most of us are familiar with the brain fog that comes with not getting enough sleep, but the exact process going on in there remains mysterious. In 2012, scientists made a huge breakthrough in the field of discovering the glymphatic system, which cleans out toxic waste products from the brain during deep sleep by flushing it with cerebrospinal fluid. Disruptions to sleep, and therefore the glymphatic system, have been increasingly associated with neurological disorders such as Alzheimer's.
Wait. So it's a sort of brain wash?
Right you are, Flynn. Studying the glymphatic system could provide new insights into sleep disorders and how to treat them. But currently it requires big, bulky MRI machines. So the U.S. Army is funding researchers at Rice University, Houston Methodist, and Baylor College of Medicine to develop a wearable skull cap. The system would consist of wearable hardware that acquires signals from the brain using a range of methods, which would be processed using the newly designed algorithms. Neuromodulation devices could then stimulate the flow of fluids in the brain.
My tinfoil hat does that already and blocks the mothership's transmissions.
The team says that developing portable technology to measure and control fluid flow in the brain would help not just soldiers, but patients as well, improving our understanding of what's going on during sleep and potentially leading to new treatments for sleep and neurological disorders. So while not washing, it can be considered brain cleaning. More of a rinse and repeat. Something they can do now, thanks to studying the hydrocephalus activity in Cavity Sam, while wearing a hat like Doc Brown.
The overwhelming majority of humans will never be able to afford flights to space, but Worldview Enterprises is hoping that its stratospheric balloon ride at a fraction of the cost of SpaceX and Blue Origin, will offer a very space-like experience for its customers.
Space, space adjacent. Doubt it'll actually be affordable in our lifetime.
It's been a minute since we last heard anything about Worldview's plan to take people into the stratosphere. The Arizona-based company made a minor course correction by turning its attention to uncrewed balloons called Stratolites, capable of delivering imaging and communications equipment to high altitudes for weeks at a time. But as a company press release came out... But as a company press release revealed, Worldview is back in the space tourism game.
Good for them.
Of course, balloons can't actually go into space, but they can ascend high enough that the curvature of the Earth and the darkness of space are clearly visible. Hear that, flat earthers? The company hopes that its offering, in which a massive balloon or parafoil lifts a passenger capsule to a height of nearly 19 miles, will capture a distinctly space-like experience.
Oh, you mentioned flat earthers. Can we knock out a bunch of them, like B.A. Baracus style, and watch their minds melt after they wake up in there? I'd pay for that.
Worldview plans to charge $50,000 per person, a cost that is noticeably lower than any other civilian space tourism flight available today, according to the company. That's still a lot of money, but it pales in comparison to the expected $25 million ticket price for a ride aboard SpaceX's Crew Dragon.
That's so much. Just patreon.com/geekradiodaily.
Please. The company is still finalizing its design and it needs to obtain a license from the FAA. Ryan Hartman, chief executive of Worldview, said the company would ideally like to perform 100 launches a year, but that'll depend on the launch points and local weather conditions. Inaugural flights could happen in 2024, which had already been chartered by the not-for-profit group Space for Humanity. The launch will be accompanied by very special performances from Joni Mitchell, Nina, and the Fifth Dimension. Ask your grandma, and if you go... Watch out for Carl Fredrickson. That guy, his sidekick, and that charming dog are always on the up and up. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works. United States 3.0 license. God, this sounded a lot better than I thought it was going to. Yeah! Good stuff. That's right. So many balloon jokes in that. There's so many balloon jokes right there. saved them all for the end. That's just, yeah. You know, the balloons, they float down here. We all float down here. Why don't you drop us a note?
We didn't have a prisoner reference in there.
Son of a whore. You're going to have to remember that. Hey, Rover. That's the best I can do. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Give us your best prisoner joke that we screwed up there. Or send it on voicemail or, I was going to say podcast, but that's not quite right. Text message. That's right. Old school. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
Or hell, make a podcast. Why not? Everything else is.
God, these guys are such geek dumbasses. I know.
Good night, everybody.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
Hey, did you hear about the mayor of Baltimore?
Yeah. Heard his plane went down. Some sort of engine trouble.
Yeah, it's awful. I saw him on Tuesday. I had a meeting with him right here.
Wow. Well, hug your kids, right? Because you never know what might happen.
So true. You know what's interesting? The Deep told me, and only me, that there were scorch marks on the mayor's engine. Almost as if from two small, high-intensity beams, roughly the width of human eyes.
Say what you mean to say.
Your brand is hope. Baseball, America, sunshine. You don't do vengeance.
Madeline, I heard him through the wall. He was blackmailing you.
I am the last person you need to save.
Yeah, but I did it for you.
I know. But did the timing occur to you?